From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of April 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And then a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agribull. You can find him on the Morning Farm Report. Today, he'll tell us about the weekend weather here in the United States and a great big snowstorm that may dump into the Dakotas a week from today. And we'll hear more about that as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael. What a week we've had.
Another one to put in the record books, Todd.
Well, we keep having them, and there's always something going on, although it was nice to see that despite what was happening in the outside markets, that the corn and the soybeans managed to hold fairly strong for the day.
Yeah, you and I talk a lot about the three leading commodities right now when it comes to all these trade jitters and the supply and demand and weather. And once again, the meal outperformed with an outside week higher close. That tells us that South American supplies are still a concern because the Rotterdam meal is still leading the market higher at this stage of the game. And it really took a lot of negativity in terms of absorbing it from the trade jitters and issues and actual tariffs and reported new tariffs that may come out between the United States and China, and also softening, I think, the trade issues also was the exports this morning announced to Egypt and unknown destinations and Mexico. Those were very much needed. So the meal was once again there. Hard red wheat, also the biggest leader on the week, up almost 8.5% in lead month futures. We have seen a 100-day, 200-day moving average crossover in that hard red wheat complex for the first time since November 24th of last year. And spring wheat joined the party this year, this week for the first time this year, essentially. So wheat is really seeing weather play out now, finally. It was interesting to see the GFS midday model showed the Texas-Oklahoma border in the 90s next Thursday. It's going to be absolutely amazing if that actually happens, Todd, because we're talking about very little precip, very cold temperatures. I think we're going to be around 15 or 18 degrees tonight for lows, 28 for lows, and then I think we're going to drop down to 15 to 18 degrees in a couple nights from now. So it's those two things primarily that have helped keep the markets and the grains from kind of looking a lot worse than they could have and looking more like what the hog market did this week, which was down 9%. So very welcome things.
So we have the bean meal and the wheat, both the hard red and the spring. And I take it the spring, it's just looking ahead and saying, you mentioned cold weather. That's currently now in the hard red winter wheat growing regions in that Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas area, and then 90 degrees there. But spring wheat, wet and cold and another big snowfall maybe like a week from now. And they really need to get moving up there at some point.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, what this translated into for us and Northeast Kansas and Champaign, Illinois, is the soft red wheat minus corn gained 20 cents. That wheat corn spread gained 20 cents. We're back to 83 cents in terms of the premium in the feed wheat. That's very welcome news because we got into feed category earlier this week and last week by getting below 75 cents. So that's a good sign. One thing that I would caution on is that I think underneath this market, with all the other stuff we've said already, underneath this market is the idea that NAFTA is going to get done next week because that's been pushed out a lot here. Both the Mexicans are starting to say it could happen, but the United States is really pushing it in the last couple of days. And I think it has to get done next week because that's kind of where the president has laid it out, is that this big meeting of the Americas in Peru on April 13th. That's a big deal to me. If we don't get NAFTA done, I'm fearful that our grain markets at the end of next week will look a lot like our livestock markets did this week. So that's a big one for me. And I think it could help us in terms of the China-U.S. trade issues psychologically, because then it's more of just the United States and China, and maybe puts the Chinese more on the defensive. Whereas if we keep having trade issues with our partners in the countries that we share borders with in China, I think the trade wouldn't look at that nearly as favorably when it comes to China, and maybe would put them a little bit more on the defensive if we did get a NAFTA deal. So to me, I'm putting a lot of hopes that we do get a NAFTA deal struck next week.
And the difference between those is that we do have a trade deal with Canada and Mexico, but nothing that I am aware of with China. I think that trade just takes place for the most part, though it operates under the WTO and the rules of the World Trade Organization. So we'll watch and see how all that how all of that spells out over time. You mentioned the livestock. Did they have a pretty rough week?
Yeah, as I said, the hogs were down 9%. Now, fat cattle only closed down 1.5% on the week, but you know, we've had 4 or 5 weeks straight essentially down in these markets, so it didn't look as bad on a weekly basis, but we're down almost to $100 on the June fat cattle. April options did expire today in the fat cattle market. That is something that's very important to the trade, because we've got this $117 cash trade, $112 April futures trade, with options now going on the April, but the April futures going all the way to the end of the month. We've got a severe discount in these June fat cattle markets, and June did close limit down today. So I would be watching that very, very closely. If we get I would expect a low in the June fat cattle to present itself maybe first, and then quickly followed by the hogs, because if we get a NAFTA deal struck, it would make sense to me that it would really help the hog market a lot. And with the cattle already so discounted in the summer and essentially back to where we were in the 2016 low time period now, I would think that that would be a real big shot and a boost to this market.
And finally, we probably should deal with the outside markets to some extent. Crude oil off of that $65 top at $61.88 now, and the Dow, of course, down some 750 points for the day.
Yeah, this is where the cattle market settled. I think they decided to go with, I don't believe NAFTA, and the hogs probably said the same thing. I don't believe NAFTA is going to get done. I got to track with those outside markets. We need to decouple. I think one other thing to throw out there is that we have a 7-week low in the Russian ruble. We have a 10-week low in the Brazilian real. While the dollar index looks nice, Todd, on the week, some of these key currencies look really, really tough going into next week. So I think, number one, we need to see the USDA reports support the lower South American supplies when we get those supply-demand numbers. Number two, we need to get that NAFTA deal to take the pressure off our Latin American currencies.
Hey, might the grain stocks be a surprise for the WASD next week on Tuesday?
I would think so. I think, you know, for me personally, I would look for May as the bigger report, but it's a chance that they would do something in the April report. But I really am going to be focused on those South American numbers. Do we come in with a 158 South American production between Argentina and Brazil? That's the trade average on the estimates for Brazil bean and Argentine bean production. The low number is 154. The closer we get to 154, Todd, the less pressure we have that China is not going to buy our beans. I think that's kind of how I'm looking at next week's report, is triangulating the number in South America to the U.S.-China trade issue.
Interesting stuff. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again in 1 week.
Sounds great, sir. Have a great weekend.
Let's check now the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Eric, what do we see for the weekend?
You know, Todd, there are some times when I get a forecast wrong, and it really bothers me. But this is a forecast that I made on Wednesday that I'm actually glad I made a little bit of a mistake with. We had some pretty strong guidance midweek that we were going to have a system kind of pushing through the middle and lower Mississippi River Valley, really getting into the Ohio River Valley. And at that time when I was analyzing it, we saw some pretty strong, what we call frontogenesis, the making of a front that was going to be happening right there across southern Illinois, Missouri, southern Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, mm-hmm. that area. Well, the really good news is that what we were seeing earlier in the week has kind of transitioned, and now we get this front that's a little bit farther to the south. So unfortunately, it's going to be cold around here, but the front has moved far enough to the south that we're going to miss out on the bigger snowfall event. You know, so what we're looking at is, you know, we're going to be cool here in Illinois, but southern half of Illinois, parts of Missouri, Kentucky, you know, Indiana, Ohio, there's going to be some snow that moves through there, but nothing like I was worried about 2 days ago. So that's good. The thing is that we're kind of stuck in this cold pattern through the weekend, maybe into early next week. We do have another chance at some very, very light snow across the Corn Belt, maybe at most a couple of inches in some spots on Sunday, getting into early Monday morning. But here's the really good news. I've been so excited to tell people this. We are actually seeing a bit of a breakdown in the overall pattern. We have been dominated by this massive trough in the jet stream that's been sitting over the Hudson Bay. And at the same time, we've seen this huge ridge pushing into the Bering Sea. Those two features, the way they're configured, just kind of kept us locked into a colder pattern. Now we've got to deal with it for about 5 or 6 more days. But what I'm seeing is that big blocking trough is finally fading and moving because the ridge over the Bering Sea is doing the same. Now, what does that really spell for us? That really means for us that we're going to get out of the constant cold pattern. And we're going to start to see a few days where we get above average on temperatures. Now, I am not saying that we're going to break into a warm spring. That is not in the forecast. What I am saying, though, is getting locked permanently into cold air, looks like that feature is finally fading. Now, the consequence of that is right now the Pacific Ocean is lined up with trough after trough after trough, which means these are weather systems that are going to come through the West Coast, get right into the Corn Belt, giving us chances for showers and storms, and maybe in the northern plains where it'll still be cold enough, some more snow. So this is interesting. And there's one I'm really worried about because I'm traveling to South Dakota at the end of next week. And right now the models have for the last 4 days put this monstrous low pressure system in the north and South Dakota going to Minnesota and Wisconsin. While we're getting rain in the southern part of the Corn Belt, if this system materializes the way that we're currently forecasting, it'll dump a bunch of snow in the Dakotas. And honestly, that's an area we should be talking about, just because if we get through the month of April and their soil temperatures are still as cold as they are now and they got snow on the ground, this could be something that maybe leads toward an increase of prevent plant acres. When you consider right now that North Dakota has 7 million acres of soybeans. Now just think, 7 million acres of soybeans in North Dakota. We grow 10 million or 11 million here in Illinois. If we have a lot of those folks not able to get in the fields by the time we get into May, that could be something that could be really quite newsworthy in the markets. Now, a lot of uncertainty, we'll keep a close eye on it, but this is what an active pattern like this does. But you can tell I'm excited about it because I'm so sick of the cold weather, and I bet we got a lot of farmers listening that just want to get into the fields.
Indeed. Thanks much. That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agribolt.